I'd like to ask you, if you would, to turn in your Bibles. We're going to read one verse together, John's Gospel and chapter 15. John chapter 15 and verse 16. If you're using the Pew Bible that's there in the rack, it's going to be page 995. And you can join me as we read this verse together. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you that you should go out and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you, love one another. Now, I'm only going to have a few minutes today because all of you are getting ready to go eat some barbecue, I understand, or some chicken. So, let me share just something with you that's going to set the tone for us for this summer in our church and our ministry. When I think about being in the United States and hearing this message and the encouragement for Christians to take a role again in our nation, share the gospel, it is one thing as Southern Baptists to think about what we think about the gospel itself. I have been in lots of Southern Baptist churches. I've never heard a Southern Baptist yet that didn't get excited when we said we believe that we ought to share the gospel and people ought to accept Christ, right? Southern Baptists get excited about that. We believe that. We even would confess that. We like to hear sermons about it. We'll get in our Sunday school classes and talk about it. We'll have programming that encourages us to share the gospel. But the one place where we lack, and not just Southern Baptists, but evangelicals across our country, is actually taking seriously our role to share the gospel with people that we care about. And so this summer, we have developed a program, a process, a theme that will help us as a church to get back to really thinking that it's our role, it's our purpose, it's supposed to be the basis of our gathering and our activity to get the gospel shared with people who need to accept Christ as Savior. So I want to talk to you today about what we're going to do this summer, and that is choose to share Christ this summer. Now on this banner, I heard some of the teenagers said they thought it looked like cheese too. So I just want to make sure to clarify this. It's actually choose to, and if you see the two, it's hard to see it sideways, but if you see the two I's or the O's there in the middle, there it forms a cross there. Do you see that? Isn't that clever? Oh, ooh, wow, ooh. All right, I want to talk to you about that for today. When I read this verse where it says that Jesus said to his disciples, "You did not choose me, I chose you, and then I have appointed you that you should go out and produce fruit and that your fruit should remain." It is my responsibility. I feel compelled as a believer in Christ. It is my responsibility to pray for and share Christ with someone that is in my life, somebody that I could contact and that needs Jesus. So I feel compelled to do that, and I want to give you an example of one strategy of us sharing Christ. One of those strategies is to pray for people that need to know Christ as Savior. Back several years ago in the church that I pastored in Northern Illinois, we were doing a new church directory, and to do that, they always kind of update the membership to make sure everything is as correct as we can make it before it's printed in that church directory. So my secretary pulled all that information together, and I asked her if she would to go through that, a whole list, and mark with an asterisk or a star those that are actually members of the church and leave blank without a star those that weren't, so I could kind of know in ministry the children or young people in the family that were not Christians. And one of the names that came across to me was this family where the husband's name was Beach and the wife's name was Bobby. And Bobby had a star by her name and Beach did not have a star by his name. Now, Beach was a good man. He was in our older men's Sunday school class. He was always in church because his wife played the piano in our traditional worship service. So he was always there. And he was just a wonderful older man. And so I went to my secretary and I said, "Joanne, this can't be right. Beach does not have a star by his name. You've had to make a mistake." And she said, "No, that's right. Beach is not a Christian. He has not accepted Christ. I said, you're kidding me. I can't believe that. Now, it was getting toward fall while we were doing that church directory, and I knew that Bobby and Beach were snowbirds. Now, I don't know if you know what a snowbird is down here in hot Mississippi, but up in northern Illinois, a snowbird is somebody who leaves around Thanksgiving, and they come back after Easter every year. And they go down south where it's warm, and they avoid all those 27 degrees below zero temperatures up in the north that drove me down here to Mississippi. They avoid all that, and they get down here in the wintertime where it's warm. Well, Beach and Bobby were snowbirds, and it was getting close to that time of year, and so I said, if I'm going to do anything, I've got to get with Beach as soon as I can. So I first started out by getting, I had an accountability prayer group. I had some men that met with me every week, and we talked and prayed and studied God's Word together, and I asked them if they would begin praying with me for the salvation of Beach Bucharest. And then I made it a part of my process to begin to pray for him and figure out a way where I could get into his house and get alone with him and try to see if I could share Christ with Beach. And the good news, I'm going to have to short my story here, but the good news is that I did have a chance to get with Beach, shared with him about the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and Beach says, I've just been waiting for somebody to ask. And he prayed to receive Christ in his home, and it was my pleasure on Thanksgiving weekend, on the Sunday, they stayed in town through Thanksgiving so I could baptize him on that Thanksgiving Sunday, and his family was there. And they were excited that Beach had finally given his heart to Christ. His wife, Bobby, came up to me. She had played the piano for years, like Meredith has. And she came up to me and she said, I am so grateful that you shared Christ with Beach and he accepted Christ. Now, what I want to say to you in that is, if God lays somebody on our hearts, we can already plan that God has them on his heart. And so I want to encourage you, as we think about choosing two, the whole theme of this, or the goal, is that you will choose two people that you will pray for twice a day, and then you will invite them to two events that we will have this summer, and at every event we have this summer, we will be sharing the gospel message. So let me say it one more time so you've got the goal in mind. You choose two people, you pray for them twice a day, and you invite them to two events that we have this summer where we will share the gospel. So it's going to be very simple. Here's the first point you need to remember. Choose two friends who need Christ. Now, I want to say to you again, if God leads you to have your mind and heart set on somebody who needs Jesus Christ as Savior, God's already concerned about them. One of the things I've learned in my life is that even though I am a Christian, my soul is so wicked, we are so depraved, that we would not think about somebody else needing Christ if it was not Christ himself stirring our heart to have that thought about them and be moved to pray for them. So right now, as I ask you to choose two friends who need Christ, perhaps God is bringing to your mind, laying on your heart, some people that you know probably need to accept Christ. As far as you understand, they need Christ. Now, who are these two friends that we need to choose? They need to be a friend, a neighbor, somebody that you have connection with in your life, that from day to day, week by week, your life regularly intersects with them. Somebody that you actually know to some degree, even if it's minimal, but you do know who they are. And they live near you, they work with you. It's too late now because you're out of school, almost everybody, except till maybe Tuesday or Wednesday this week. But you're going to choose somebody, hopefully, that is a son or a daughter or brother, sister, maybe it's your father or mother, maybe it's your husband or your wife. Maybe it's a teacher you met in your school, your child's school this year, the principal, coach of the baseball team your kids are playing on this summer, that kid who mows your lawn, or that guy who comes out and takes care of your pool, or the waiter or waitress that you see regularly at a restaurant that you frequent, or somebody that lives in your neighborhood. Now, who should you not choose? You probably should not choose somebody that lives way across the country, somebody you went to high school with, but you haven't seen them for 16 years. We're talking about somebody you should choose that needs to know Christ, with whom your life regularly intersects. You cross paths on a regular basis. Now, we're also going to ask you, when you are choosing them, to make a commitment that you will try to build a deeper relationship with those two friends or neighbors or whoever it might be. So here's the first point. Choose two friends that need to know Christ. The second thing is choose to pray twice a day for those people. So if I choose, I've already chosen my two names, and if I choose my two people that I'm going to be praying for, I want to pray for them twice a day. Now, you could pray for them before you have breakfast and pray for them before you have supper. That'd be twice a day. You could get up early in the morning and pray for them, and before you go to bed at night, pray for them. However you work it out, pray for them in the car on the way to work. Keep your eyes open, please. Pray for them on the way home from work. Keep your eyes open. However you plan it out, you're going to make a commitment that you would pray twice for them each day. So you've got two friends. You're going to pray twice each day. Now, we're also going to ask you at the end of this service that when you come up, if you'll make this commitment, we want you to sign your name on a paper banner that's on that table. But we're also going to ask you to take a reminder to pray. So I've been wearing for the last week, praying for my two, this wristband. It just says, choose to commit to pray twice a day. So when you come up and you sign the banner and you make your commitment, or if you can't make it up here because you can't walk that far, nudge your neighbor and say, when you go up, write my name down too and bring me one of those wristbands. Okay, so you take the wristband, and as you wear it, it will remind you to pray for them twice a day. I even wear mine in the shower, so it's always clean. I am pristine. There is no perspiration on this wrist. It is washed and clean and ready to go. Now, what are you going to pray for? You're going to pray for a couple of things. First of all, your opportunity to share your faith. Even the Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians, he said, pray also for us that God may open a door to us for the message. You're going to pray that God might provide a divine appointment for you, a time when your life intersects and the other person might even bring the topic up for you to share your faith with them. Let's just take a survey. How many of you have had those times when you prayed, God, use me, and when you get into your daily life, the other person is the one that raises the issue or asks you the question or brings up the subject. Anybody ever had times like that? All right, several of us have. And so if you'll pray for there to be an opportunity where you might be able to share your faith with them. Also pray that you will be bold in your faith. The Apostle Paul, again, he said, pray when I open my mouth to make known, to do it with boldness, the mystery of the gospel. If the Apostle Paul, who is the greatest missionary who has ever lived, had to pray for boldness, the rest of us who are wimpy missionaries, you know, we need to pray for boldness, right? We need boldness to be able to share our faith. Now, not arrogantly, but with commitment. You know, I've been amazed that a lot of times we think people outside the church are turned off when Christians stand for what they believe. When in reality, all the surveys that are done show us that lost people think Christians ought to stand up for what they believe. They don't want to come to a church where it says, well, we're not quite sure what we believe, or we know others believe differently, and maybe they're just as valid. Who wants to be a part of a group like that? I want to be a part of a group that knows what they believe. They're not arrogant about it. They're not, hurting people or throwing family Bibles on their chest and pinning them to the ground till they accept Jesus as Savior or something. But people want to know that we are firm in what we believe. So without being arrogant, just be convinced and have a conviction about what you believe and ask God to let you boldly share your faith. Now, why should we pray? We should not pray because we think those people are dirty, rotten scoundrels. We want God to bring them in our church so we can have some more money in the offering plate and get new people eventually to teach classes and work. That's not what we're praying for. We are praying out of a genuine love for them and a concern that they need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That has got to be our motivation. Again, Apostle Paul said, my heart's desire and prayer to God concerning them is for their salvation and for no other reason. Now, here are some specific things you can pray for these people. You have a friend, and as far as you know, they do not know Christ as Savior. So when you pray every day, pray this. Lord, help them to be curious about the spiritual things about life. Maybe they'll watch a television show or see a movie, see something in the newspaper, see a documentary on TV, something that will spur them on to be curious. Maybe they'll have someone in their family who passes away, and that spurs them to start thinking about the eternal issues of life. So you pray for them every day, twice a day. Help John or help Mary have a curiosity about things that are spiritual. A second thing you can pray is that they will clearly grasp their need for a Savior. A lot of people are out here in the world, and I've seen the bumper stickers like, "Why do I need to be saved? I didn't even know I was lost." Maybe we just need to pray that people will have this clear understanding and grasp that they need a Savior, somebody beyond themselves, somebody above themselves, somebody different than them, who has given his life on the cross for them to be saved. Maybe they don't even know about it, but they need to, you pray that they will grasp their need for a Savior. And finally, that God will surround them with Christians who will be good witnesses of their faith in Christ. Now, all of us know bad Christians, right? There's the old story about the pastor who visited the pig farmer and said, "Well, you know, why don't you ever attend church?" And the pig farmer says, "Because there's a bunch of hypocrites down there. I'm not going down to the church where people live worse than I do." And the pastor said, "Well, take me out and show me your pigs." And so they went out looking at all the pigs, and pastor noticed there was a couple of pigs that were sick, and he asked the farmer, "What are you doing?" "Well, I'm trying to heal them and get them well and doctor them up." And the preacher says, "Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to go out and tell everybody you raise sick pigs." And the farmer says, wait, don't do that. That'll ruin my business. Don't judge me by my two sick pigs." And the pastor told the farmer, "Then don't judge me by my hypocrites in church. Judge me by the best ones I've got in church." And so I know that that there are those Christians that may not live up to everything they should. But let's pray that these two people that you care about, God's laid them on your heart, you love them at least to the degree that you are willing to see, hopefully see, that they will accept Christ as Savior. You pray that God will not only have you in their life, but will surround their life, fill their life with other Christians who might share their faith or at least live a life that would be worthy to be called Christian. So that could be your prayers for them. Now, thirdly, we are asking you to choose two friends and then choose to pray twice a day and then choose to invite them to two events this summer. So if you invite your two friends, this is my promise to you. We have gone through our summer and we're still working on some of the final details, but the staff has planned out the summer on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and some other times. We're going to be having special events throughout the summer. And at every special event, we are going to have someone share their faith, share the gospel. Maybe it's through a movie. Maybe it's in VBS. In some way, we are going to be sharing the gospel with the people who come. So I can guarantee you this, if you will invite your friends, they will hear the gospel and how they can accept Christ as their Savior. And so you're going to invite them this summer to your small group or to your Sunday school class. And in that class, make sure that your teacher knows or your facilitator knows that you've got some lost friends there. They need to share the gospel. In our worship services, we'll be sharing with people how to be saved. In our vacation Bible school, we got neighborhood block parties that are planned, 4th of July picnic, the Redbirds game. We're even going to be able to share Christ at the Redbirds game, all right? We're going to go to the country club and go swimming this summer. We're going to have a movie night and tons of other things. I want to encourage you to invite your friends to two of those non-threatening events at which we promise we will share the gospel how they can be saved. Did you know the statistics are that over 80% of people who are asked, if somebody invited you, would you go with them to their church? Over 80% of people say yes. If they were sincerely invited, they would go to church with a friend or somebody that they know. But it also tells us in those statistics that 80% of people say they have never been sincerely invited. So the qualifying word there is sincerely. So that, what does that mean? It means you, as a young man, you're dating your girlfriend, you say, "Hey, baby doll, I kind of like go to church on Sunday, and if you ever want to go with me, you could." That's not too sincere, right? You're at work and somebody's mother passes away and she is having a hard time in the cafeteria, the lunchroom, and you see it, you go over and you sit by her and she says, I just need answers. I need some answers in my life. I need somebody to tell me about what happens after we die. I mean, she just lays it out there, the opportunity, and you say, well, do you go to church anywhere? And she says, no, and well, that's too bad. And you just kind of leave it at that. That's not very sincere. We're talking about gently, nicely, graciously asking people that you know. And believe me, these are people that God has laid on your heart. You've been praying for twice a day. Sometime this summer, it's going to come up, and you're going to get a chance to say, hey, we're going to the Redbirds game Sunday night. I bet if I called Brother Charlie, we'd have a couple extra tickets. I bet you could go with us. And I'd love for you to go with our church family to the Redbirds game. It's going to be a lot of fun. And hope you would come. Just sincerely invite them. You might be amazed. The statistics are, people smarter than me say, that 80% of people who are sincerely invited would go with you. And they'd be more apt to go to a Redbirds game with a church group than they would to go to church and hear a pastor yell at them, I'm just so mean and ferocious and ugly to people, that they might be afraid to do that. All right, so here we are. We're at the invitation time. Here's the choice I'm asking you to make today. 3 out of 4 people around us do not know Christ as Savior. As long as we're nice about it, we're not going to turn them off. They may not agree with us. They may not believe like we believe. But 3 out of 4 people do not know Jesus Christ in a personal relationship as Lord and Savior. They change our oil. They take our money at the drive-thru and they give my dog Garth a dog biscuit, especially if it's at the pharmacy or something like that. They sell us our groceries at Kroger's or at Target, Piggly Wiggly, wherever we shop. They help us find stuff at the hardware store. They work in the office next to us. They teach our children. They babysit our kids. They live in the house across the street. And would you listen real closely now? Someone who does not know Christ as Savior may be putting on a good show, but if they were serious, they would admit to you there's a lostness in their life. They don't have direction. They are missing peace. They need some answers. There's something in them that is intriguing them to know more about God. They are open to things spiritual. So don't be afraid about a person who does not know Christ. If they're honest with you, they have a longing within to some degree to be open to what God can give them in their life. And they are girls and boys, they are moms and dads, they are grandmas and grandpas, and they live around us. Our life intersects them every week, every day perhaps, and they need to know Christ. Now you're going to say to me, Pastor, I'm a Southern Baptist. I believe all this stuff, but I just don't know if I could do this. I'm asking you to enter in at the ground zero, okay? I'm asking you, is there anybody in your life, at least 2 friends, 2 neighbors, 2 coworkers, somebody that you know that as far as you know they need Christ as Savior, as far as you know they are not saved? Anybody like that in your life, would you make a commitment that you'll pray for them twice a day? Because James, the book of James tells us, you have not because you ask not. And a lot of times we think that means, well, we don't have a new Cadillac because we didn't ask God for one. If we'd asked God for one, he'd give us a new Cadillac. But that's not really what that means at all. It means you do not have the work of God in your life. You do not see the spiritual results of your Christian living because you have not asked God for those things that are bigger than what you can handle yourself. You have not because you ask not. First Baptist Church of Olive Branch, would we like to see God bring revival to Olive Branch and maybe even start in our church? That's bigger than I can do. That's bigger than you can do. But if we would make the commitment to pray, sincerely pray for 2 people, 2 friends, 2 neighbors, that perhaps this summer would be the summer that they allow Jesus Christ to enter their heart and life, to save them, to make them brand new. Would you be willing to make such a commitment? That's the heart of Choose 2. Choose 2 friends that need to know Christ. Choose to pray for them twice a day and choose to invite them to two events this summer where we will share the gospel and seek to let them help them find a way into a relationship with Christ. I'm amazed at what God might could do through our church. You know, I don't act like I have any great super faith. I just want to believe that God could do some amazing things. And so I challenged you 3 weeks ago to think about what God could do through a Barnabas offering. The Bible tells us that Barnabas was a man, and he had some property, and he sold it, and he brought the value of that property in money, and he gave it to the apostles to use in ministry in the church. You have some stuff like a lawnmower, or a boat, or a stamp collection. You have a grandma's old quilt that you don't want anymore, or something that you could sell. Maybe it's your own service of cutting grass or mowing lawns or painting a house or whatever it might be. You have something you could give. And we might be amazed at the end of this summer on August 26th, by the time that all of those offerings are given this summer, what God has done with stuff that you and I could live without. And then also I want to challenge you, what could God do if you and I would make a commitment this summer, 2013, to pray for two friends twice a day and invite them to an event where they could hear the gospel? Anybody have any speck of belief, any mustard seed of faith that God could save some of our friends this summer? Anybody believe that with me? That's what I'm asking you to do, to make that commitment. So here we go. I'll make it real simple. We got a banner on this table and one over there just like it. It's made out of paper. There's markers there. I want you to come up, sign that banner. If your friend says, hey, I can't get up there, that's too far for me to walk, would you sign my name? You sign their name too. Right? And then you grab two of those wristbands, or one for you and one for your neighbor, and take it back. And you make the commitment to pray for those people twice a day. Now, I'll tell you what I did. In my bulletin, there's a bookmark. Looks like this. This is not the one I did it on, but I have one like it, and I wrote my two friends on the back of my bookmark. I'm going to keep this handy in my purse, or I actually don't carry a purse regularly. I do have a man bag. Ladies, you put it in your purse. Guys, if you carry one, you do that. In your wallet, in your pocket, in your Bible, on the mirror where you shave, on your dashboard of your car, you carry it with you to remind you to pray for those two friends. Now, here, I'm kind of tired. I had a hard week, so let me get all my energy up, and I'll say it one more time. God could save some of our friends this summer. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? And all we've got to do is say, Lord, I believe you enough that I will come and pray. Now, you could also pause here for a moment and pray if you'd like to, or stand here and pray for those friends. We have some resources at the Information Center. I told Charlie, I said, if we're going to ask people to be engaged with this, we've got to have some gospel tracts. We've got some Bibles out there that are marked. All you got to do is give your friend this Bible and say, turn to page such and such. And at the bottom, once you read that verse, at the bottom, it'll tell you to turn to another page and read the next verse and show them in Scripture how they can accept Christ as Savior. All right? Everybody know what we're doing? If you want to make that commitment, you can't walk down here, don't let that stand in your way. You tell your neighbor. Before you come down here, ask your neighbor, do I need to do that for you, or are you going to do it on your own? All right? Be brave. Be bold. This could be an amazing summer of what God does. Now, all smile at me. You look all so sad and everything. You're going to get barbecued chicken in just a minute, okay? So cheer up, my friend. Are we ready? Let me pray for you, and then we're going to stand. I'm going to ask you to make your commitments. And also, you can bring your Barnabas commitment cards today, too, if you'd like to do that. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to pray for myself. I am not always the boldest of witness like I need to be. But I want to commit my life to you this summer for these that you've laid on my heart. And I pray for my church, my family and friends in this place, that you would not only grow us by making a commitment to pray, but we would see you begin to work in people's lives. Perhaps not everybody we pray for will be saved this summer, but we do know that there will be some that will be saved. And we want to be partners with you, God, in them coming to know Christ. Help us. And Lord, I pray right now that by the end of this summer, we will be able to come back before you as a congregation and say, Lord Jesus, what an amazing summer, what you have done in people's lives. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Would you stand?